Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're diving into something I think we all crave a little more of: happiness.
Well, happiness.
But specifically, the kind that seems to bubble up when we connect with nature.
Right.
We've got a stack of research articles, even some cultural perspectives, all lined up to explore this fascinating link.
It's really quite amazing how much research is out there.
It is. So think of this deep dive as your shortcut to understanding how nature actually makes us happier.
And it's more than just a feeling. There's some serious science behind it.
Okay, so let's get into it. Where do we even start unpacking this connection between nature and our brains?
Well, let's start with dopamine. You know,
oh yeah,
that feel-good neurotransmitter, the one that gives us a sense of reward.
Like a little treat for our brains.
Exactly. Well, studies have shown that being in nature, especially in forests, can significantly increase dopamine levels. We're talking a noticeable increase after just a short walk in the woods.
So that explains why even a quick park break during lunch can feel so refreshing.
Exactly.
It's like my brain is getting a little reward just for being surrounded by trees.
Yes. It's tapping into that primal connection we have with the natural world.
But it's not just about feeling good, right? There's also that stress-busting effect that nature seems to have.
Absolutely. Nature seems to calm our amygdala, that part of our brain that's all about stress and fear. Studies show that exposure to natural environments can reduce those pesky stress hormones, like cortisol.
I definitely feel less tense and anxious after spending time outdoors.
Right?
It's like my system gets a chance to reset. Is there something about humans being naturally drawn to nature? Like, is this connection buried in our DNA somewhere?
Well, that's where the biophilia hypothesis comes in.
Mm.
It suggests we humans have an inherent need to connect with nature.
Okay, so it's like a built-in craving for the great outdoors.
You could say that. Throughout evolution, this connection to nature was essential for our survival. And it seems that even now, in our modern urbanized world, this instinct persists.
It makes sense. But what about those of us who don't live near vast forests or tranquil beaches? How do we city dwellers tap into this nature happiness connection?
Well, even small doses of nature can have a big impact.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Houseplants, for example. They're more than just pretty decorations.
I've heard that. So I'm not imagining it when I feel calmer after tending to my little indoor jungle.
Not at all. Research has shown that interacting with plants can reduce physiological stress markers, like blood pressure and heart rate.
Interesting. So even a tiny succulent on my desk can make a difference.
It can, indeed. And don't underestimate the power of natural light. Maximizing sunlight in your home or workspace can significantly impact your mood.
I've definitely noticed that on gloomy days when it's gray outside, I feel a bit more sluggish.
That's the lack of natural light affecting your circadian rhythms.
But what if you just can't escape the concrete jungle? Are there any workarounds?
There are. Think about incorporating natural elements into your routine, even if it's just listening to nature sounds.
Ooh, like those forest soundscapes. I love those.
Exactly. Or maybe diffusing essential oils like lavender or cypress.
I'm all about essential oils.
Even just looking at pictures of nature has been shown to have a positive effect.
Interesting. So even if I can't physically be in nature, I can still bring elements of nature into my daily life.
Precisely. And those little touches can make a surprising difference.
Okay, so we can make small changes in our homes and routines. But what about those times when we do have the opportunity to get outdoors, to be in nature? Are there ways to make those experiences even more beneficial?
There are. That's where mindfulness comes in. By being fully present and engaging all your senses, you can amplify the positive effects of nature.
Okay, I like where this is going. So how do we actually do that?
Well, next time you're in nature, try this. Just pause.
Pause.
Take a deep breath and really notice what you see, what you hear, what you smell, and even what you feel.
That's so easy to forget to do. I'm always rushing around, lost in my thoughts.
We all do it. But those little details, the texture of a leaf, the sound of birds singing, the warmth of the sun on your skin, those can have a profound impact if we take the time to truly appreciate them.
I love that. It's about slowing down, being present, and really absorbing the experience.
Exactly. And by incorporating mindfulness into our nature experiences, we can deepen our connection to the natural world and reap even greater benefits for our well-being.
I'm ready to try it. This has been such a great start to our deep dive into nature and happiness, but we're just getting started.
We are.
What can our listeners look forward to in the next part of our exploration?
Well, we'll be getting practical. Diving into specific tips for incorporating nature into your daily life, no matter how busy you are.
And I'm really excited to explore the cultural perspectives on nature and happiness. It seems like different societies have unique ways of viewing and interacting with the natural world.
It's a fascinating topic. We'll be delving into indigenous wisdom, Eastern philosophies, and modern movements that are redefining our relationship with nature.
Can't wait. Until then, dear listeners, we encourage you to find even a small way to connect with nature today. We'll be back soon to continue our exploration of nature and happiness. Welcome back to our exploration of nature and happiness.
I'm excited to dig deeper.
Me too. We've covered some of the amazing science behind why nature makes us feel so good, but I think we're all ready for some practical tips.
Right, let's get into it.
How do we weave more of that natural goodness into our everyday lives?
Well, you don't need a complete lifestyle overhaul.
That's good to hear because I kind of like my city life.
And you don't have to give it up. Small, intentional steps can actually make a big difference.
Okay, so more than just my daily dose of houseplant admiration.
Plants are great.
I do talk to them, maybe a little too much.
But think about expanding your nature toolkit. Light, for example. Light is a powerful mood regulator.
True.
Could you bring more natural light into your home or workspace?
I actually can. I have a few windows. I usually keep the blinds closed,
So.
so I could try opening them up more, letting the sun shine in.
Absolutely. Our bodies are very in tune with natural light cycles. Bringing more of it indoors can really shift your mood and energy.
Makes sense. I always feel more energized in a well-lit room.
Exactly.
Even a glimpse of the sky through a window makes a difference.
It does. And what about scent? I'm a big believer in using scent to shift my mood. Essential oils, particularly woodsy or citrusy ones, sometimes they have this instant calming effect, like I've been transported to a forest.
Exactly. You're tapping into that sensory connection with nature. Even without physically being in nature, those scents can evoke the feeling of being outdoors.
It's powerful.
It is. And you can bring those elements into your home in simple ways.
Okay, so we can make some small tweaks to our homes, to our routines, but what about when we step outside, when we're out in the world, especially in a city? How do we find those nature moments amidst the concrete?
It's all about becoming a nature detective in your own city.
A nature detective. Okay, I like that.
Challenge yourself. Find those hidden pockets of green.
I can try that. That tiny park tucked away. Maybe a community garden you never even noticed.
Oh, that's a good one. I actually found a community garden a few blocks from my apartment, and it's amazing. It feels like a completely different world, and I never would have known it was there if I hadn't been actively looking.
That's often the key. Actively seeking out those nature spots. You'd be amazed by how much nature is actually around you.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's about opening your eyes, looking a little closer.
Exactly.
But we've talked about mindfulness. How do we actually do that when we're out and about in these places?
The next time you're in nature, any kind of nature, no matter how small the space, just try this. Pause. Take a deep breath. And really engage your senses. What do you see? Notice the patterns. Maybe it's on a leaf, the way sunlight filters through branches. What do you hear?
I have to admit, I'm so bad at that. I often catch myself rushing around and completely lost in my thoughts. I'm not even really seeing what's right in front of me.
Mindfulness helps us break out of that autopilot mode. It's about slowing down, being present in the moment.
So it's like hitting the reset button.
You could say that. Instead of rushing through life, you're actually experiencing it.
I like that. But mindfulness is more than just passive observation, right?
That's right. You can actively engage with nature too. Think about gardening.
Oh, gardening.
Yeah, it's a great way to, get your hands dirty, literally, to nurture something, to witness the cycles of growth, of decay.
Full confession. I have never been much of a gardener, but I do have this one little basil plant. It's on my windowsill, and I can't help but feel a sense of satisfaction when I see it sprout, when it grows. Even
Absolutely.
if it's just this tiny little basil plant, it's something.
It is. And you don't need a huge garden to feel those benefits. Even the smallest interaction with nature can be positive.
It's interesting. I'm thinking about those stunning Japanese rock gardens. They're minimalist, but so profound.
Exactly.
It's like they capture the essence of nature.
And the act of creating a garden, no matter the size, can be a meditative practice in itself.
Okay, gardening is on the list. What other activities would you recommend? For someone who's looking to deepen their connection with nature.
Think about what brings you joy. Hiking, bird watching, maybe taking your workout outdoors, anything that gets you moving, gets you breathing in some fresh air.
I've definitely noticed a difference in my runs when I choose a park trail instead of the treadmill. It's not just about the scenery. It's like the fresh air, the sounds of nature. They energize me.
That's because our bodies thrive in natural environments, is where we evolved to be.
It makes sense. But let's be realistic for a moment. Access to nature, it's not equal for everyone.
Right.
What about people who face barriers,
yeah.
like limited green spaces in their neighborhoods, safety concerns, or even physical limitations?
You bring up a crucial point. We need to advocate for change. We need to push for more green spaces in urban areas, especially in underserved communities.
I agree.
Parks, community gardens, safe walking trails, these should be essentials, not luxuries.
I love that. It's about equity. It's about making sure everyone, regardless of where they live or their physical abilities, has the opportunity to experience the benefits of nature.
Exactly.
And for individuals with physical limitations, it's about designing spaces that are inclusive, that are accessible, wheelchair accessible trails, sensory gardens. Everyone deserves the joy, the peace of being in nature.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's shift gears for a bit. I'm really fascinated by how different cultures view nature.
It's a rich topic.
It is. It seems like there's so much diversity in how people around the world interact with the natural world.
It's a beautiful tapestry of beliefs and practices and traditions. In many Eastern cultures, for example, nature is deeply intertwined with spirituality.
Like Shintoism, where nature is seen as sacred, right?
Yeah.
I remember reading about how mountains, trees, and rivers are all believed to be inhabited by spirits.
Exactly. Spending time in nature is seen as a way to connect with those spiritual forces, to find harmony and balance.
There's also this concept of reciprocity in many indigenous cultures, this idea that we have a responsibility to care for the earth.
It's a powerful concept. It's about recognizing that we're not separate from nature, but deeply interconnected with it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's an idea that has been lost in many modern societies.
But it seems like there's a growing movement to revive these ancient traditions.
There is. And it's not just about individual well-being. It's about the health of the planet.
So it's a shift in mindset from like extraction and domination of nature to a more harmonious way of living.
Exactly. Our well-being is ultimately tied to the well-being of the planet.
I love that. Okay, this has been such an eye-opening conversation, but we've only scratched the surface.
We have.
What can our listeners look forward to in the final part of our deep dive?
We'll be exploring the world of nature therapy. We'll look at the different approaches, the science behind its effectiveness. Nature has this incredible potential to support healing and transformation, and we'll talk about that.
I can't wait. Until then, dear listeners, I encourage you to find even a small way to connect with nature today. Take a deep breath. Admire a tree. Plan a weekend adventure. Remember, nature is a source of joy, of peace, and of healing, and it's always there waiting for us. We'll be back soon to continue our exploration of nature and happiness.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've covered so much ground already, from the science of nature's happy effect to practical tips for weaving nature into our busy lives.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. And now I'm so curious to dive into this realm of nature therapy.
Nature therapy. It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is. It feels like taking all the amazing benefits of nature and channeling them towards healing.
It really is about harnessing that power.
Yeah.
Nature therapy, sometimes called ecotherapy, recognizes this profound impact nature can have on our well-being. It goes beyond just relaxation, though relaxation is certainly part of it.
So it's not just about like lounging in a hammock under a tree.
It can be sometimes.
Although that does sound pretty amazing. It does. But there's also a more intentional and therapeutic aspect to nature therapy.
Okay. And I know there are a lot of different approaches. What are some of the most common or effective ones?
Well, one that often comes to mind is wilderness therapy.
I've heard of that.
In wilderness therapy, you have individuals going on these immersive adventures, often in remote natural settings.
So it's like really getting out there, pushing your limits.
It is. And it's often used for people who are working through things like addiction, trauma, or behavioral issues. The idea is that by pushing those physical and mental limits surrounded by nature, they develop resilience, self-awareness, they connect with something bigger than themselves.
That makes sense. It's like using the power of nature to help facilitate that transformation. What about other types of nature therapy? I know there's more than just wilderness therapy.
Right. There are things like nature-based mindfulness programs. They might combine practices like meditation or yoga with the tranquility of a natural setting. And they've shown to be really helpful for things like stress, anxiety, even depression.
I can see how that would be powerful. Like being in nature just enhances those practices, creates a sense of peace.
It does. The natural world provides a grounding, a perspective that can be so helpful when you're struggling. And then there's also horticultural therapy.
Horticultural therapy, that sounds interesting.
It is. It uses gardening and plant care as therapeutic tools.
So you're literally getting your hands dirty.
You are. And for some people, that connection with the earth, with the process of nurturing and growth, it can be really healing.
I can see that. I mean, there's something about watching a plant grow that just feels hopeful.
It does. And it's been used successfully with all sorts of people. Seniors, veterans with PTSD, even people with disabilities. It can be incredibly empowering.
That's amazing. So it seems like there's a type of nature therapy out there for everyone.
There probably is. It's about finding what resonates with you, what speaks to your needs.
Do you have any personal stories or anecdotes that you can share that really illustrate this power of nature therapy?
I do. I remember working with this woman. She'd lost her spouse, and she was really struggling with grief. She just felt so lost, so disconnected. And one of the things we did together was just take walks in the woods. It was a beautiful forest near my office.
What happened? Did she resist at first?
She did. She didn't really get it. Like, how could walking in the woods possibly help with her grief?
Mm.
But as we continued our walks, I noticed a shift. She started to engage more. She would point out things like the way the light filtered through the leaves or the sounds of the birds. She would take deep breaths, smell the earth.
Wow. So it was like nature was gently inviting her back to life in a way.
It was. And as she connected with nature, she started to reconnect with herself, too. She found some solace in the natural cycles, you know, the way life continues even in the face of loss.
That's so powerful. It's a beautiful reminder that we're not separate from nature, we're a part of it. And that connection can help us heal, can help us find our way back to ourselves. Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm curious, what's the key message you want our listeners to take away from this whole conversation about nature and happiness?
Nature is not a luxury. It's not something extra. It's essential for our well-being. Whether it's a quick walk in the park, a weekend hike, or engaging in a more structured nature therapy program, that connection with nature is an investment in our happiness, our health, our sense of connection to the world around us.
Beautifully said. So to our listeners, I encourage you to find a way to connect with nature today. Maybe bring home a houseplant, schedule that hike you've been putting off, or just take a moment to appreciate the beauty of the sky. Whatever it is, remember that nature is there to support you. It offers its wisdom, its peace, its healing power. Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive as we explore another fascinating topic together.